Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about evolution and intelligent design. I'm your guest host, Ira Berkowitz, speaking to you from Jerusalem, the ancient and still bustling capital of Israel. I live and work here and have recently become a fan of Rabbi Moshe Averick, who has also made Israel his home. Rabbi Averick has taught theology, spirituality, and religious philosophy for over 30 years, and many of his students have gone on to become teachers themselves. He is also the author of a provocative book called Nonsense of a High Order, The Confused World of Modern Atheism. It's persuasive, it's inspiring, it's in your face, and it's sometimes very funny. And it's available on Amazon. Rabbi Averick, welcome again to ID the Future.
Thank you very much.
Rabbi Averick, the last time you were on ID the Future, you and Paul Nelson discussed your book in some detail. Today, I'd like to talk to you about how your book has been received and how you yourself have made something of a stir. First of all, there's something about your style that delights your fans and infuriates your detractors. Why did you choose to write your book in a way that was calculated to elicit such a strong reaction?
Well, I think that the books that I read, which inspired me to write my book, The God Delusion, that's pretty in your face. God is not great, how religion poisons everything, that's pretty in your face. The End of Faith, that's another one. So I think that, you know, when I read all these new modern atheist books, all of them were quite aggressive in their attacks on belief in God, belief in religion, and attacks on people who believe in God and believe in religion. So, you know, I thought that it was necessary to, you know, to write my book in an aggressive style that would, you know, answer the points that they raised.
Let's say you'd taken a softer approach. Do you think that would have been weaker?
I don't think that it would get through to people as much. And especially nowadays, unfortunately, we live in a sort of a post-intellectual world. People are not into intellectual discussions so much. You got to kind of get their attention, in my opinion. So therefore, you know, there's got to be some humor. It's got to be a little bit pointed. It's got to be a little bit in your face, as far as I'm concerned. That's my general style anyways. I just hope that I wasn't gratuitously, you know, nasty or in your face.
No, not at all. Not at all. One of my favorite bits from your book is a response to microbiologist Eugene Koonin's suggestion of a multiverse for the origin of life. Since the chances of life appearing spontaneously are next to nil, he suggests a multiverse, which would provide infinite opportunities for life to appear. Your response is devastatingly funny. I was wondering if you'd just give us a little taste of that.
Yeah. First of all, I think that the fact that a man who is as brilliant as Eugene Koonin, he's a microbiologist, he works, I forget the name of the actual institute in Washington, D.C. But the fact that he would even come up with something, basically what he's saying is, well, let's see, we have to roll a six 1,000 times in a row, and there's no way that that's going to happen because the probabilities are so absurdly ridiculous. Therefore, let's come up with an idea that you have an infinite number of rolls of the dice, and therefore it's inevitable that you will roll a six 1,000 times in a row eventually, which that's true. He's absolutely correct. If you have an infinite number of chances to do something, of course it's going to happen eventually. But of course, if the answer to how a bacterial cell and the nanotechnology of a bacterial cell and the DNA genetic system came about only because of an infinite number of rolls of the dice, well, then a lot of other things are going to happen if you have an infinite number of rolls of the dice. You'll have, by pure chance, you'll get an iPhone. By pure chance, you're going to get a laptop computer. By pure chance, you're going to get a Rolls-Royce Phantom sedan. You know, so the idea that somehow this idea of infinite rolls of the dice is going to solve the problem. It is. It's laughable. I just marvel at the fact that someone like that, like I said, like someone like Eugene Koonin could actually come up with such a thing.
It occurred to me that if you're going to come up with infinite universes, why not just come up with an infinite source?
Well, that would be too simple.
Okay. Putting style aside for the moment, did you get flack for the arguments you made in your book?
Well, from, you know, sort of there's different categories of people out there who responded to things that I wrote. You have kind of the trolls who inhabit, you know, like richarddawkins.com, and their responses are usually adolescent and vulgar and things like that. I don't pay attention to those anymore. Once I got used to it, I realized, you know, that was standard for many people. There's a few standard arguments that you get over and over again from, let's say, some guys like Michael Shermer or Jerry Coyne or PZ Myers, things like that. It's always God of the gaps. It's always argument from ignorance. It's always, you know, you don't respect science enough. It's the same few things over and over again. And most of these are not even really arguments, in my opinion. They're really kind of excuses to sort of deflect the argument.
Just to evade really engaging. So let's start with God of the gaps. Why isn't it? You quote maybe a dozen expert scientists who say that no one can imagine how life arose spontaneously. The most reasonable source of life, you claim, would be a designing intelligence who brought the universe itself into being. Why is this not a God of the gaps argument?
Okay, first of all, I quote 83 of the top scientists in the world over the last 150 years who talk about the absolute bafflement of science as to how a natural origin of life could occur. So it's a lot more than six.
I said a dozen, but okay.
Right.
Still so far off.
Right. And the answer, what is God of the gaps? God of the gaps is another way of saying what's called in philosophy an argument from ignorance. Let me try to give you an example. If I'm a detective and I find, God forbid, a woman is murdered and we can't find any clues as to who did it. And I say, well, since we have no clues as to who did it, therefore, it has to be the boyfriend. Now, there's no logic there. There's no connection between one idea and the next. Just because we don't know who did it, I cannot therefore positively conclude that it's the boyfriend. That's what they say we are doing with intelligent design and origin of life. Since we don't have any clue how life could have begun in a natural way, therefore, it must be that God did it. Which, of course, is not the argument at all. The argument is that when you see functionally complex objects like as astoundingly sophisticated as a bacterial cell or a digital information processing system, as mind-bogglingly sophisticated as the DNA genetic system, which is in every single living cell on the face of the earth, you obviously conclude that there's a conscious, intelligent, creative activity behind it. That's the way we interface with reality about everything that's around us. So for some reason, all of a sudden, when it comes to this, they say, oh, that's an argument from ignorance. And of course, it's not an argument from ignorance. It's an argument that is based on a wealth of experience, of observation, of laws of physics, of laws of mathematical probability. Not only that, our thesis predicts the failure of materialistic scientists to come up with an answer for origin of life. And of course, that prediction has come true in spades over the last 160 years because the origin of life field, in the words of Eugene Koonin, who you talked about before, it is a total failure.
Okay, but criticizing your book, people have also pointed out something that makes me think that they haven't read it. Nobody's arguing for a bacterium appearing out of nowhere. It was a chemical process that started it, a self-replicating molecule. And I'm not wrong. They haven't read the book, or they just skipped that part?
They either haven't read the book. And by the way, you should know, I've read reviews of Stephen Meyer's book, Signature in the Cell, which is about also about the origin of life. It's a much more comprehensive book, and it's scientifically packed with, you know, and much more profound than mine. I wrote it at a popular level, but I've read reviews of Stephen Meyer's book, and it's clear that many of the people who review it don't even understand the basic thesis that he's presenting. Many of them think he's talking about evolution. They don't even realize there's a difference between origin of life and evolution. So yes, it's clear that some of the people who read the book just kind of skimmed through it. They assumed I was saying things when I wasn't saying them, or else they didn't take the trouble to really understand what was going on.
Or they weren't being honest.
Or there was a cognitive dissonance. Their agenda was interfering with their ability to see clearly what I was saying.
You're being nicer than I am. Okay. People have accused you, Rabbi Averick, of quote mining. They say it's not intellectually honest to quote opponents of intelligent design in order to make your point for intelligent design. How do you respond to that accusation?
Well, quote mining is one of the standard tactics. In other words, as if somehow, if I can find a statement, or in the book I find dozens and dozens and dozens of statements by non-believing scientists that support my position, somehow that's unfair. I'm not allowed to do that. And other people who hold the same position that I do, they're not allowed to do that. So what they do is they came up with this phrase called quote mining, as if somehow that lessens the impact of the fact that I can prove my point by quoting people who disagree with me. There's no stronger argument you can make than by using your opponent's very words to show that you're right. That's the strongest argument. If all I do is quote people who agree with me, well, so what? They agree with me.
Exactly. Well, Rabbi Averick, we've run out of time for this podcast. It's been a pleasure talking with you. And if our listeners want more of the inimitable Rabbi Averick, they can read his book, Nonsense of a High Order, The Confused World of Modern Atheism, available from Amazon. This has been Ira Berkowitz for Intelligent Design, the Future.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.